Keith Hancock, in view of the question I'm going to ask, I ought to disclose an interest, which is that I'm an ex-member of the Industrial Relations Commission. And my question is about that. I've looked, as well as I could, for the reasons for your decision to replace the AIRC with a different tribunal. And I've found only two, namely that the AIRC reeks of the 20th century, and also an allusion to the Industrial Relations Club. Now, neither of those things says anything, and I'm sure you must have had better reasons than that. I'd be interested to hear what they are.
Sure. Of the many decisions we made in putting the policy together, one of them was to abolish the Australian Industrial Relations Commission and to substitute for it a new independent industrial umpire we've called Fair Work Australia. And now, it wasn't an easy decision to come to, and I think that there's good institutional history in the Australian Industrial Relations Commission. It will always be remembered, and the predecessor Conciliation and Arbitration Commission, as important to the history of Australia over the last century, and I would say to the compact that enabled this to be a very high migration country. The fact that for the immediate post-war years people had a sense that there was an umpire in the field setting wages enabled us to be a high migration country because people were less anxious that a new arrivee was going to take their job by undercutting their wages. But, of course, our economy has moved on profoundly since then. And since the High Court case, our ability to structure an industrial umpire has profoundly moved on too. The Commission for its life was basically an institution relying on the interstate industrial dispute power. Now we can do things differently. And in doing that differently, we thought it was time to create, insofar as possible, a one-stop shop. We understand, of course, that the judicial function needs to be in a separate section. It can work under the banner of Fair Work Australia, but it needs to have some separation and some integrity and have proper judicial appointments so no one is looking over the shoulder of a judge and telling him or her what to do. But beyond that, we believe we can have an agency that does fit the needs of a one-stop shop, that you can ring and get through to an advice section, that you can ring and get through to a compliance section, that you can ring and have an unfair dismissal claim resolved, that you can go for court proceedings if that's necessary, and which would also be the custodians of awards, would check agreements to make sure that they make people better off vis-a-vis the safety net, and would also fix the minimum wage. The Howard government's hollowed out the Australian Industrial Relations Commission. We want a new umpire with a full range of powers. We also think in restructuring it gives us the opportunity to move forward in terms of practice. We think it would be good to have an organisation that has a more localised flavour. Now, I know Mr Howard is misconstruing this as an officer from Fair Work Australia on every business doorstep. Of course, that's not what is intended, but it seems to me if I'm an employer in a regional centre and I have an unfair dismissal claim, it would be against my business. It would be a great merit to have someone locally who could resolve that rather than the business person and the person who alleges they were unfairly dismissed having to go into a central business district to try and get that sorted out. So, new range of powers, new way of working was the reason that we moved from the old to the new. I do have a lot of respect for many people in the current Australian Industrial Relations Commission. Obviously, we will be talking to the Commission about the transition and the new arrangements, and it's certainly our intention to make sure that appointments to the new body are done fairly on the basis of merit and with no other criteria in mind.
Paul Eblin, we represent, obviously, SMEs, motor industry. Your system clearly is following the national scene. You're looking at retaining award structures in the form you've outlined. You are looking at expanding minimum standards. Clearly, there are some differences with work choices, including the name. How seriously are you going to address the complexities of the state and federal system, and how will that unravel? Because clearly that's been an issue for business, and it wouldn't matter who was in power. Thank you.
Yes, that is an issue for business. I think you would hear Kevin Rudd talk from time to time about ending the blame game between the federal level of government and the state level of government. Now, normally that terminology, ending the blame game, is associated with big service delivery like health. And having been Shadow Minister for Health, there's probably no area of government activity that is more chopped up between state and federal and causes more problems for individuals who get caught in the gaps and the holes. So we certainly want to do that in the blame game. But we also think there is perhaps not a blame game, but there's discontinuity between the federal and state system. And we would have systems, and we would have a historic opportunity to fix that. We have said to our state Labor colleagues, we would give them two options. They could either refer powers for the private sector, which would be referring the powers to cover people who are sole traders, in partnerships, in incorporated associations across to the federal scene. Many of your members are probably in that circumstance. Or they could cooperate to harmonise their local laws for that section of the employing community. Now, either way you skin that cat, you get to the same result, which is for everybody in the private sector, there is one set of rules they have to worry about. And I think that would be a great economic reform. Great economic reform for small businesses who may, you know, in the act of incorporation, unwittingly make a transition from a state system to a federal system now and not even know they're doing it. And great for businesses that manage to grow. And you don't have to be a big business these days to trade across interstate lines. Obviously, new technology means even very small businesses can achieve that now. And if you do trade across interstate lines, to not worry about different sets of rules and regulations for employees in different places. Now, I know that's easy to say, harder to do, but we're very determined to get it done, and we do want to do it as an economic reform initiative. On the awards, we do want to... You've got the current award system. There's merit in the current award system, and there's some ramshackle nature to the current award system. There's bits of both. Mr Howard thought that you could get a group of experts and shove them in a room for a few months and slip the occasional pizza under the door so they didn't starve to death, and they'd wander back out with the new award system. Now, it was never going to work like that. To really modernise and simplify awards, we need the people who most care about them to have a say as that process is gone through, and so our award simplification process will be an open process where small businesses can say, you know, this is what I say about common rule awards, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. Businesses can say, my enterprise award suits me, I want to keep it. People can say, this is an award that hasn't been varied in 20 years and it ought to go. And through that collaborative process, we can get to a better outcome.
Julia, Rob Stewart from the Master Builders Association. You've talked previously about disbanding the ABCC, and it was encouraging to hear on the weekend that you were talking about industry-specific inspectorate. We find that very encouraging, would like to work with you on the basis that you're elected to government. But what concerns us is the transitional period when you get rid of the ABCC and you bring in this new inspectorate. That could be anything from 12 to 18 months. What happens in that interim period?
We're happy to talk to people about transition arrangements. I mean, obviously, to re-legislate our industrial relations laws is a big endeavour, and one of the things I think they did very badly with work choices is they rushed the legislation through. It didn't have proper parliamentary scrutiny. It didn't have proper parliamentary committee scrutiny. And I think the fact that they've been back on multiple occasions to amend it for clear errors shows what happens when you rush and you don't get it right. So we will want to make sure our legislation works and is robust. So there will be a transition time. We are keen to talk to people about is what are the most sensible arrangements there. That is one area of policy we've said we haven't announced yet and we're still consulting about. And it's all of these sorts of issues we want to weigh up in the consultation. We're also very keen to talk to building industry employers. Obviously, I'm from Victoria. There's a sizeable industry there, and I've been in dialogue with that industry. But we want to talk to building industry employers around the nation about what would work as a sensible compliance regime in the building industry. And so we're, you know, our door is open to continue that conversation. But you're right to note that there will be a special division focused on the building industry.